And I'd like to add that it's very, very likely in a situation where Scotland will not have its own currency, will be forced into kind of quite emergency negotiations with Westminster after a possible independence date, that the nuclear deterrent, the agreement over nuclear weapons, will go in that debate. I don't trust the Scottish National Party to follow through on that particular commitment. I think it's possible, but I think it's unlikely that they will. And I think that the chance of, you know, what Billy Bragg called a debate, or the chance, the very remote chance of removing nukes, while that would be fantastic and while I support that, isn't worth what, you know, this Faustian pact with the creation of a new kind of nationalist oil state in Britain. And I would want to refer to one more thing that Billy Bragg was talking about Norway before. Now, Norway is also, I mean, you know, a petrostate. But the thing that fuels Norwegian social democracy is, as well as a very tight and very restrictive and very isolationist immigration policy, is an enormous amount of oil money. Now, according to calculations, oil reserves are going to start tapering off. This is according to a particular report produced in Britain, which potentially,
Sam, I'm going to have to cut it off there because the show is ending, and give Billy Bragg 5 seconds to respond.
I think Sam is a good example of a person on the left who can't get his head around politics in the 21st century. These things are changing and moving on. And if we are to get to grips with international capitalism, then we're going to have to allow people to have self-determination. That's what the referendum is about, not nationalism.
The vote for Scottish independence is on Thursday, tomorrow. That does it for the show. Sam Wetherill, thanks for joining us. Billy Bragg, thank you. That does it for Democracy Now! Our website's democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, where the time is now 8:01. Coming up next is Wednesday Morning Talk Radio with host Paul Rowland. Today's guest is co-organizer of this weekend's first annual Cascade Media Convergence, Adam Carpinelli.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Cascade Media Convergence, Friday, September 19th through the 21st, at the University of Oregon Turnbull Center, 70 Northwest Cooch Street in Portland. The goals of this Cascade Media Convergence are to create a space for media makers to network and share best practices, collectively learn skills, and lay the framework for continued collaboration and plant the seeds toward building a regional grassroots media coalition. There will be workshops, strategy sessions, and space and time for deeper discussions on all aspects of grassroots media. Again, that's the Cascade Media Convergence, September 19th through 21st, at the University of Oregon Turnbull Center, 70 Northwest Cooch Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
John Coltrane. Every September, KBOO Community Radio celebrates the birthday of John Coltrane with an all-night marathon honoring Coltrane's life, his legacy, his influence on musicians around the world, but mostly his music. Tune into KBOO this Friday night, beginning at 10 p.m. as we celebrate John Coltrane's 88th birthday with an 8-hour marathon, rare recordings, interviews, and some new releases. That's this Friday night from 10 p.m. until 6 a.m. Coltrane Night, a September tradition only here on KBOO Portland. And remember to join us the following Tuesday night, September 23rd, John Coltrane's 88th birthday, as KBOO Night at the Clinton features The World According to Coltrane, beginning at 7 p.m. Tuesday night, September 23rd, a celebration of the 88th birthday of John Coltrane.
Thank you.
good morning. You are listening to Wednesday Talk Radio here on KBOO Community Radio, 90.7 FM here in Portland. My name is Paul Rowland, and as you heard Steve, our engineer, mention, I am on the line with Adam Carpinelli this morning to talk about the Cascade Media Convergence coming up this weekend. Adam, are you there?
Yeah, morning, Paul. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well, pretty well.
Thanks.
And so let's get right into it. This is an event, a first-time event. I said first annual. I know that's kind of a hopeful thing. That's a goal of the conference. It's not necessarily going to happen. You know, who knows what's going to happen in the next year, but that's what people plan on doing. And it's I know other events have happened like this. I believe about 10 years ago, maybe in Seattle, there was something like this organized. But this is something new, certainly for Portland. Let's talk about, you know, how this got started, what the, you know, who's organizing this, what the seed of the idea was.
Yeah, sure, Paul. Basically, there's a few aspects of kind of inspiration that played into building this conference. I mean, on the basic just community level here, you know, myself and other folks involved in various aspects of alternative media, which in my case is radio. I volunteer with KABU and work with a lot of social justice organizations in Portland. And I'm also a musician, too, which is definitely another, you know, form of media. You know, have talked about, you know, this need for people to get together more and, you know, share ideas and what have you. And so there's always been some ongoing discussions like that. One of those organizations here in Portland is called the Be Media Collective, which actually initially came out of a committee that was the Bolivarian Media Collective, that was a committee for the Portland Central America Solidarity Committee, and then kind of later broke off, became its own video collective. But we're inspired by the power of grassroots media, you know, to change narratives and affect history. And another group that I have not spent time in Venezuela, but a lot of people that I work with have. And so people in Venezuela or that have visited there might be familiar with the AMCLA Media Network of Venezuela, which, yeah, it's a huge source of inspiration, you know, under the the more, you know, well, in the last few years now, but, you know, under Chavez, you know, they have a network of 300 autonomous media collectives, and they've been instrumental in consciousness raising there during the Bolivarian Revolution and influenced the outcome of the 2002 coup attempt against Hugo Chavez, from, you know, different barrio radio stations, film collectives, training institutes, pirate TV stations. They've all really shown and kind of demonstrated, articulated how media can be used as community organizing to build movements for revolutionary social change. And one other one I think that's really worth mentioning, which is awesome too, if people are not familiar with it, is what's called the Allied Media Conference, which is going on for, I think, at least 15 years in Detroit. And for some of us in Portland, our first the first time we were familiar with it or went to it actually was it was in conjunction with the Detroit Social Forum in 2010. And Allied Media Conference has also been another great space, and again with a broad kind of scope of talking about media and focusing a lot on you know, people who are you know, queer people of color, and just very, very excellent conference. And so the fact that it was before the Detroit Social Forum was kind of another reason that we kind of decided that we would do this a week before the Pacific Northwest Social Forum, and we can talk more about that in a little bit. But yeah, but those are some things that have happened. And
well, just to jump back yeah. a second, you mentioned Venezuela, and I went to before I got a temporary full-time job, I went to a number of the organizing meetings for the Cascade Media Convergence and heard discuss this Venezuelan thing. But you mentioned it in conjunction with Chavez, but what I understood, and you weren't saying differently, but that it actually predated it by some years. It was actually kind of led to the ferment that led to the change in Venezuela.
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, 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 no, that's true. And part of what I was getting at is that, you know, then once, you know, the revolution happened, and then, you know, Hugo Chavez was kind of like in power or what have you, then that's also where, you know, there was a lot of there's, you know, just the all kinds of different community media there, but a lot of it's also, you know, propped up as well by, you know, national government too. So there's kind of two ways of looking at it too. I mean, but at the same time, I mean, definitely we can see where, you know, even under Chavez, you know, was making less space for just kind of like big corporate media, like maybe we have here, for example.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, so there's various models for this, inspirations, and obviously just doing it is the inspiration for most people who do community or alternative or independent media. There's various terms for it. We call this community radio, but also independent listener-sponsored community radio. And so there's going to be a lot of people coming from around the region. It's called the Cascade Media Convergence, which obviously refers to, I guess, generally the Pacific Northwest. That's pretty much the people who are going to be drawn upon for this conference.
It is, yeah. In this case, you know, this first time around, you know, we're definitely focusing on regional and probably will in the future as well. You know, because the immediacy of people linking up in the region first, and then, you know, and then from there, maybe getting more into, let's say, kind of like a national process of doing that work. But as far as the outreach that we've been doing for the conference has been exclusively in mostly Oregon and Washington. And then, you know, there are folks from California that are coming up, like in the Bay Area. And then, you know, some other outreach with some other, you know, bordering states. I mean, even we've been in contact on some level with people in like Colorado and Montana, which albeit is not, you know, in the region, but, you know, trying to kind of look at the landscape of the kind of organizing that people are doing around alternative media. And some of those people are just independent folks. People are part of collectives, they're part of movements. Some people are part of, you know, large organizations that have aspects of media work that they do, because obviously in promoting different social environmental justice issues, it's necessary to do that. You know, I mean, it always has been, and it's even more so now.
And so I would like to just give the number for anyone interested in asking questions about this, who, you know, may have their own experience, their own involvements that they want to put forward. 503-231-8187 is the number to call to join this conversation. My name is Paul Rowland, talking with Adam Carpinelli, one of the organizers of the Cascade Media Convergence. So, you know, we're talking on the KBOO airwaves, regular and maybe some first-time listeners out there. If you are a first-time listener, welcome. And so why would people listening to KBOO, you know, be particularly interested in this, might consider coming? Who are you trying to encourage to come?
Sure. Well, I should say first that this conference is it's open to the public. It is sliding scales. It's not technically free, but definitely we have sliding scale. People can also even just donate a couple hours if they can to volunteer. It's an all ages conference. It's intergenerational, and it's, you know, again, definitely we're dealing with a broad definition of media in the way that the people who are attending this conference identify with, like, themselves. So we're not trying to maybe enforce a certain kind of definition of that. So I'm just saying that because people that are interested in all kinds of media, you know, should definitely attend this. And especially in the case of talking about, you know, radio, KBOO, community radio. And in fact, you know, I mean, I volunteer with KBOO myself and do some programming. I won't be giving a presentation, but even Paul, if I can put you on the spot for a second, it looks like you're going to be doing something at the conference, and other people from KBOO are attending as well. We also have support with what's called the hackathon. It's one of the rooms that will be allocated so people can just be in there and hack away, work on their computers or what have you, And, you know, those, it's kind of, that's kind of an open, kind of free form project, I think. But there are a lot of presentations about doing radio work. One thing I would say too for KBOO, you know, listeners and volunteers is that we're also doing, what's called strategy sessions, as part of the conference. So in other words, we're not only doing just presentations, workshops, panels, there are strategy sessions. So people who are either, you know, doing the work or interested in doing the work, can get involved that way. Those will be 2-hour sessions. They're Saturday and Sunday, in the later afternoon part of the conference. And there's one for several different kinds of media, and then there's ones that are like issue-based strategy sessions. So in other words, there'll be one for like radio, print media, film, video, and then there's another set of strategy sessions the next day that will actually focus on, you know, using media, but for particular social justice issues, excuse me. So there'll be one, you know, on housing justice, for example. And, you know, so people from, you know, also with KBOO, right, to Survive Radio, those folks will be helping out with that. But any interested in doing housing justice or doing housing justice work, even in context of just media. So it's not like just people have to, you know, just kind of start working with some organizations. It's even people that, you know, you just have a video camera and you want to come help, you know, film things for organizations, or maybe help somebody work on a documentary, work on a radio show. And again, part of the strategy sessions are also very much aimed at building this kind of regional kind of work, or whatever you want to call it, really solidarity, kind of coalition. And even just basic networking as well. So it's very useful for all kinds of people in that sense.
So I would encourage our listeners to give us a call. I mean, Adam and I have a lot to talk about. We could certainly fill up the hour without too much difficulty, I think, I hope. Yeah. But we would really like to engage other people in this conversation. It's a multifaceted topic. You know, I think... Part of what I'm really interested in is breaking down, you know, the barriers. And obviously the internet has gone a long way. Obviously community, listener-sponsored community radio was kind of really groundbreaking in terms of sort of breaking down this barrier between, you know, the passive listener, you know, listening to messages from corporate-dominated media sources, and which were paid for by advertising. So the listener-sponsored model to begin with, it was the listeners themselves who became sort of in some ways, the owners of that particular frequency, and so had more of a stake in it. And then, you know, it was sort of the first real, I don't know, maybe I should say it was the first, I'm sure there's been many different models of people participating. Obviously, there's been the DIY ethic has been going on since before DIY became a, you know, an acronym. But you know, it opened the doors to people from the community. That's why it's called Community Radio, Pacifica being the first KPFA in Berkeley. And then through the 60s and 70s, the explosion of community radio was really an important development in increasing people's access to the airwaves, basically. So, you know, KBOO people can come in, there's a volunteer orientation process, and people can, you know, after spending some time volunteering, they can produce news stories, they can produce other public affairs, get a music show, and we tend to get out into the community more ourselves and allow just regular people's voices you wouldn't ordinarily hear. So that's a really important thing. And so, as I said, internet has also dramatically increased capability. It's also sort of diluted in some ways things. But so breaking down that barrier between, you know, passive receivers of information and people actively participating and creating it. So we should, I'm definitely, you know, want to encourage people, anybody who feels that urge to become more involved, then this conference is a really good place to do it. There's going to be a lot of people who are already involved, people kind of curious. So, you know, I think that's really an important aspect of this. Maybe this is a good sort of entry point for people interested in doing participatory media.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, And that is the idea, you know, of talking about participatory media, which, you know, kind of in the 21st century, you know, the kind of a lot of more recent terms that are being used for, I mean, really, not just alternative media, but alternative ways to look at and restructure society, you know, looking at participatory democracy models for that, which is all about, you know, like you said, people not being passive about their own fate and their destiny, and also in a lot of cases, people keeping their pride and dignity, you know, in kind of under 21st century capitalism and America's kind of rampant white supremacy, and you know, we really try to adopt, you know, these different models that were, you know, that keep transforming and that we keep learning about. And you know, one of those models, again, you know, for participatory democracy, which is used a lot for consensus decision making, kind of been used in Occupy, but really came out of the different world social forums. And so then in the U.S., then we have the U.S. social forums. And so we've adopted some of those modes of organizing by the social forum process, as well as U.S. social forums' current emphasis on creating events, you know, like our conference, that are strategic and focused on movement building. So rather than just creating spaces, you know, just to gather and share information, which we're doing that too, then this is why we're emphasizing sessions, like strategy sessions, centered around how we can collaborate with each other and, you know, make proposals to further the work of movements, working for social justice. So, yeah, so the strategy sessions are based loosely on the social forum's model of people's movement assemblies. And if I could just mention one last thing, which is that after that, you know, the week following, there's the first inaugural Pacific Northwest Social Forum, and there's going to be a media people's movement assembly for that. So in other words, we're going to be, you know, taking some things from the conference and being able to also bring that, you know, to that media session too. So it's just going to continue to build the way that it's kind of set up, which is great.
Yeah, so let's talk a... You know, while we're still encouraging people to call in at 503-231-8187, I guess I don't know what the question would be to our listeners, you know, in terms of your engagement in this conversation. But, you know, maybe people might want to think about, well, maybe people have questions about some of the more specific content of this, and we can talk more about that, some of the specific workshops. Mm-hmm. But maybe we could talk a little bit more again about, you know, you mentioned the what's the name of that the network again in Venezuela?
Oh, AMCUA.
AMCUA. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, I you know, I spoke. I did some programs last year. Cable was going through a bit of an internal crisis, I guess you could say, at that terms in terms of direction of the station, and I did some programs on, you know, the power of community radio, the importance of community radio, some of the history about it, and just really inspiring to sort of revisit some of that and some of it for the first time. How there's a documentary I aired. I did a little some clips from this documentary on the history of KPFA in Berkeley in Pacifica, and instrumental it was in the various social movements, both in sort of, this, you know, just giving them energy and also reflecting them back so people could actually see what was really going on as opposed to the corporate media presentation thereof, whether it was the House Un-American Resistance to the House Un-American Activities Committee or, you know, movements against the war in Vietnam or what have you. But certainly Pacifica and community radio in general, along with certainly the alternative press, the explosion of the alternative press in the 60s and 70s had a huge influence on the culture, on the so-called counterculture. And it was just very inspiring to really get that sense of how it helps shape history, how people become actors. We become actors in our own history instead of just waiting for things to happen. It seems like with all the events going on in the world today, just the sense of just these huge events continuing to happen without us being able to have that much influence. But so I guess, you know, in some ways taking it to a regional level, really is appealing to me, because we do have presumably more power to influence and shape things that are much closer to us. But that's kind of a long way of getting to this issue of really, again, reinforcing the importance of alternative or community media, not taking it for granted. And so what this conference seems to be doing is taking it to another step, basically. People are doing different projects, so people are trying to link their energies together. So maybe you could just sort of talk a little bit more about that. And then we do have one caller.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, here's the deal. I mean, it's all about propping up the work that's existing that people are doing. And so definitely, you know, there's aspects of the conference where we're trying to augment that work that's going on by highlighting it and trying to help have a venue, you know, for sharing it. At the same time, again, you know, doing things that are strategic to bring that together to get more people involved. So it's not just, you know, again, highlighting a local artist or filmmaker. You know, it's also getting people involved with work like that, so they're actually inspired to also be doing that themselves, you know, and by using kind of a, you know, again, a kind of a general idea of what we're talking about with media or community based media, because, you know, we have a pretty wide definition of the term. So, you know, as far as things that are going on at the conference to highlight, there are so many great presentations, and we have about, almost 30 things that are going on Saturday and Sunday as far as just the actual presentations. And they're all, you know, very different. You know, there are people who are doing stuff, you know, on film and radio. Like I mentioned, Right to Survive Radio, you know, those folks are going to do a workshop and actually take people out in the field, because hopefully it'll be nice weather, and go walk around. And it's, the title of that one is called Interviewing the Homeless. That's going to start at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. And so I just want to use that example because that's very unique, because, again, it's talking about, you know, how do you even do that work? If you want to help prop up or talk about the plight of poor and oppressed people who are experiencing houselessness, you know, how do you actually, you know, talk to these people? So it's not just how do you talk about the issues, but how do you talk to these people? And in turn, you will probably learn more how to talk correctly and appropriately about those issues in terms of what people experience, you know, on the street every day. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, to use the term alternative media is like an understatement for doing work like that, you know, because, you know, again, how often do you get to turn on the radio or the TV and really get to hear the experiences about somebody who is experiencing houselessness? Because the only thing that, unfortunately, normally in Portland, if we hear about the life of a houseless person, it's because they're probably shot or tasered by the police. That's not the only thing that we need to hear about these people's lives. We need to know what's going on and also understand, you know, all the other things that will connect to an issue like that. But again, there's so much you can get out of even just a workshop like that to, again, learn about the issues, but then also about learning how to do radio. You know, they're going to have a couple field recorders with them. People can learn how to use the technology. How do you hold the recorder properly? You know, things of that nature. So that's going to be really fruitful. Other things that I think are going to be really kind of unique at the conference, and again, kind of going with a larger, broader idea of looking at media, is and also with that same theme of doing kind of storytelling, you know, or oral history or interviews in the street or in the community, is Intisar Abioto, who is a dancer, a performer, and also does photography and film, and has actually gotten quite a lot of attention recently doing a project about the lives of black folks in Portland and that history. And so she'll be talking about kind of intersecting a lot of the different work that she does and how she does it. And I know the theme of her talk is really about kind of black oral history and that kind of that tradition, essentially, of how people do that. So again, that's how we're looking at media kind of in a broad scope, too, is you know, looking at these ideas of cultural memory as it helps inform us, and it's a form of media, too.
Okay, well, we do have a caller. You are listening to KBOO Community Radio. It's coming up on 8:30, and my name is Paul Rowland, host of Wednesday Talk Radio, speaking with Adam Carpinelli, one of the organizers of the Cascade Media Convergence this coming weekend, which we will give you also the address for and the times and also some events that are connected to it in the evenings. But Jake is on the line. Go ahead, Jake.
Yeah, I was just wondering, you just mentioned some of the topics surrounding homelessness, but are there any other kind of regional topics that are going to be addressed besides just media, but how media can address, environmental concerns, gentrification, issues of racism? Are there any other sort of kind of topical areas that all the media will be saying, how do we as a media come together and address these from various angles?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great question, and thanks for asking that, Jake. We hope you can make it to the conference, too. On Saturday and Sunday, there's these sessions that are open, and they're simply just called strategy sessions. Like I mentioned before, they do have a component of some process that's built in that we've adopted kind of from the social forum, but we're not, we're also using it kind of in a different way, in our own kind of way of doing it, and also it'll depend on who comes in the room. But those strategy sessions are kind of exactly, I think, what you're talking about, which is specific to different media and different issues. So, for example, there'll be a film / video breakout session, and that'll be open to anybody who's, even interested in the topic, but, we definitely want to target people who are doing that work, or at least have half of the people maybe in the room that are doing some film video related work. And they can talk about the challenges that they face working in that particular kind of media. But then also on the positive level, what are things that have worked for them in the past or recently? What kind of resources do they have, too? Because I think that's the idea. And not just skills as resources, but any kind of resources, even people being able to network and help each other maybe do a film project or something like that. And definitely that's all based on trying to build some regional collaboration, and people are familiar with what each other does. We're hoping that a lot of people are going to become familiar with each other, or and or their organizations, or film collectives or what have you. So the film video one will be facilitated by Mr. Claude Marks, who works with Freedom Archives, and he is a seasoned media maker and activist from a long time back. And so we're looking forward to that one. And those are the media breakout sessions. And then on Sunday, there'll be the issue-based strategy sessions, and that's where, there'll be a specific one on housing justice. There'll be a very general one, actually, that's about regional media coalition or collaboration, and that one will be more mixed media. So we're trying to definitely have some issues of focus, like in environment, too, was another one that came up, which we're not going to be able to do at the conference this year. There's a lot of great climate change work that's going on, so there's a lot of people kind of unavailable for that this time around. But yeah, that is what we're trying to do. Is that the kind of idea that you had, Jake, or did I answer your question?
Yeah, because a lot of the discussion I'm hearing is how do we tell better stories, or how do we have resources to tell better stories or come together to tell better stories. And I was just wondering if the conference was helping gather people specifically and say, okay, now that we have the resource to tell stories, what stories should we be telling regionally?
Yeah,
well, exactly. My response to that, I guess, would be that it seems like the key thing is to get together, because unless you actually have sort of a vehicle for sharing information and deciding together how to best present and work on these issues, that it's the content needs to follow the actual people getting together, it seems like. So this is kind of a first step. I mean, not that people don't already collaborate, but it's not like, KBOO, basically we gather information and we present programs, some syndicated programs, and each individual programmer kind of has their networks, but there's not like more of a, not to say formalized, but a sort of regularized
process for sharing information and collaborating on stuff. So that seems like the first step.
Yeah, sorry.
I was just saying it sounds great.
All right.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, and I mean, to add, Jake makes a really important point too, which is that, you know, it's also about people's stories too, you know? I mean, it's one thing to be doing media work and stuff, but, you know, everybody has powerful stories, and it's really important that everybody realizes the importance of their stories and their agency and being able to construct those, which, the way that history is written, the way that big media is produced these days, it always leaves out those stories. And so I think this is, you know, not to sound cliche, but this is really for the people, you know, of and for the people, with the people, because we're trying to, you know, prop up this aspect of, you know, everybody can do this, you know. You don't have to be, you know, specialized to have some big PhD in something or whatever, that everybody's voice, you know, really does matter. I mean, I think that is the power of doing, you know, what we're calling either, you know, community or like alternative media.
Okay, well, thank you very much for calling, Jake. And the lines are open, 503-231-8187. If you let me repeat that, there's a little bit of a distortion there. 503-231-8187. If you'd like to participate in this conversation, my name is Paul Rowan. I'm talking with Adam Carpinelli, one of the organizers of the Cascade Media Convergence. And there's a lot to talk about. A lot will be going on this weekend. Maybe you could also go into some of the other events that are happening, some of the cultural events.
Yeah, sure. Throughout the weekend, we're trying to have other things in the community that are separate from the conference. So in other words, you know, there might even be people throughout the weekend who, well, we hope they make it to the conference, but even if they don't, they can attend some of these other events. So those will be off campus, and by campus I'm referring to where the actual conference is going to be on Saturday and Sunday, which is at the University of Oregon Old Town campus, 70 Northwest Cooch. So it's right where, you know, they do like the downtown kind of Saturday market. It's right around there. So they've been so gracious as to let us use the space for the conference. But when we're off campus, the opening event for the Cascade Media Convergence will be at the Musicians Union Hall. That's the local 99 here. And we also really appreciate Musicians Hall for helping us, you know, let us use the space as well. The Musicians Hall, local 99, is 325, excuse me, Northeast 20th. That's 325 Northeast 20th, Musicians Hall over in Northeast. And what we'll be doing there is it's a free evening event. Again, it's disability affirmative. It's all ages. This event is free and open to the public. There's free food, which is catered by Injoni Cafe, one of my favorite spots in Portland. And we appreciate them helping out too. So there's free food there, and we'll be showing films, and that's the main deal for Friday night. So that'll be a very casual event. You know, it'll be, you know, based less off having big presentations or what have you. We're just going to feature a bunch of different local film clips, and one of those is it's an award-winning film that was put together by an organization that's based in the Bay Area, and they're called Project Censored. And I'm assuming maybe some of our listeners might even be familiar with them. They do all kind of great media kind of advocacy, and you could even say literacy work. You know, every year they put out a publication that's like the top stories that like the corporate news didn't cover, and they just do really awesome work. And so we're looking forward to having that film screened on Friday. So again, that's at the Musicians Union Hall. We hope everybody can stop by, bring your kids, bring your friends. There'll be lots of free vegan Ethiopian food to be had from Injoni. So and then the next day on the Saturday, which is September 20th, it's going to start, around 6 p.m. first, where it's going to be kind of a longer event. We're doing it at the Lotus Seed. Lotus Seed is a very nice community space off of Northeast Tillamook. The address is 6 Northeast Tillamook. And, yeah, we also appreciate Lotus Seed letting us use the space as well. What we'll be doing there is it's going to be a cultural event for most of the evening. But before that, we'll be showing a film that's called Authority and Expectations. And this is a really interesting film that it looks like Recruiter Watch PDX and also folks from Veterans for Peace Chapter 72 and some others have kind of helped us put this together. And there'll be a discussion with that film before we have the cultural event. That's about an 18-year-old mental head. His name is Ray Harris, and he enlists to fight, in the war on terror, in Baghdad. And so he really talks about, all of his experiences. And so, again, another great way of showing alternative media, showing alternative voices, in this case, somebody who's really dissenting about, what's going on in the Middle East and U.S. imperialism and occupation. Authority and Expectations is a film that's directed by Ken Lurie as well. So after the film, then we're going to move into the cultural part of the event, and it's going to be all musical performance and some DJs that was partially organized and also will be performing is KBOO's own Mike Crenshaw, who's another person that's been, helpful is kind of an understatement. I mean, helpful with building what we're doing here, but also somebody who knows the issues very well, is somebody who's very much doing that work actively in the community in different ways, and also as a media maker, himself, doing radio and doing music or what have you. So, and again, that's also an event that's basically just sliding scale at the door, donations, so whatever people can give, we really appreciate it. And part of that is just so, everybody can get together on Saturday night and, they can watch the film early after the conference, and or they can just come to the cultural event, come dance and hang out, get to know people, do even more networking. Maybe we're going to make a lot of relationships at the conference, and so people are going to get to kind of continue building those relationships and those conversations.
Okay, well, thank you, Adam, for all that information. I would like to let people know that coming up later on this morning at KBOO at 9 on Political Perspectives, the topic is the People's Climate March in Portland this Sunday, a lot going on this weekend, and the Central Oregon Climate March in Bend. At 10, hear Air Cascadia headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15 is Flashpoints, which features an interview with Lyme disease activist and psychologist Dr. Jessica Bernstein. And host Dennis Bernstein talks to media activist and anti-warrior Norman Solomon about war and whistleblowers. And at 11 on The Food Show, we hear about the books In Search of the Perfect Loaf and The Food Lover's Guide to Portland. And as always, we like to express our appreciation and thank you to all our KBOO members for your support. And if you are not yet a member of KBOO, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today. And of course, we have our board elections. So the deadline is coming up real quick. I believe tomorrow it has to be in by mail. You can still bring it in person to the meeting, and you can get more information about that again by going to kboo.fm, or you can call our front desk at 503-231-8032 after 9 o'clock. So many numbers, so many things. The number to call in for your comment or question to this program is 503-231-8187. I must say we haven't elicited a huge outpouring of phone calls. In fact, this is an unusual for this program and for talk radio. I guess people are just kind of taking it in, finding out what's going on this weekend. But if you can become the media by calling up 503-231-8187. It looks like we do have a caller. We got Joe on the air. Hello.
Hey, a question for you guys and then a comment. What are the names of the two co-captains, so to speak, of KABU?
Co-captains? Are you referring to our co-managers?
Correct.
Okay. The names are Mike Crenshaw and Monica Beamer.
Okay. Now my question is, back in July, when I think it was the first or second time that they did their Wednesday afternoon 5:45 time slot, and where they just kind of discussed KABU businesses, business stuff, and I called up and I said, hey, I said, the Cathedral Park Jazz Festival is going on this weekend, and I believe at one time KABU did simulcast part of that, just like they do the Waterfront Blues Festival. And when I called up the call screener, I says, hey, I says, I would like to maybe pose the question of maybe in the future, KABU, maybe next year, maybe it's too short a notice now to do it, but next year maybe KABU could simulcast all or part of the Cathedral Park Jazz Festival, which occurs underneath.
So Joe, wait a second. So Joe, hold on. So what does this have to do with the conversation, and why do you think it's important that we talk about this right now?
Well, because I thought you guys were talking about communications and the radio. But anyway, here's what I want to get out into the open to let all the KABU listeners know, is that KABU really isn't a community radio, because the call screener says, well, why don't you ask them this off the air? And I said, no, I said, why don't we pose the question on the air
so we can kick
the thought around to all the KABU listeners, so that maybe they could say yay or nay.
Okay, well, Joe, we're going to have to cut this off, because this is becoming a real personal thing, and I don't see the wider relevancy of that. That seems like a personal gripe that you have, that you know in the way that you were particularly dealt with in that particular circumstances, whether the call screener was correct or not. That is something that we cannot adjudicate here at this time. But I appreciate your calling, Joe. And do we have any other callers? Not at this time. The number to call up is 503-231-8187. And my name's Paul. I'm talking with Adam. We're talking about the Cascade Media Convergence. We're talking about independent media. We're talking about using the power of the few independent media outlets that we have, if you accept the internet, which obviously is open to everyone who has a computer, at least, and there are some people who don't, so that's not a universal thing. But other than the internet, you know, we have various community radio, there's a few pirate radio, there's low power FM, there's the few alternative publications that manage to hang on in the new media environment. There's still cable television. So yeah, you said there's a wide, Adam, you said there's a wide definition of media. Maybe we could explore that a little more and talk about a few more of the, you know, what are some of the outlets in Portland and the region that we're talking about, some of the people who are going to be coming as well?
Yeah, sure. I would say that we're trying not to have, you know, just like one definition of media of and for the conference or even in general, and leaving that open for people to discover, if I could say, like alternative views of alternative media and how they want to perceive it and how they want to talk about it. So that way people at the conference, you know, maybe by the end of the conference, you know, have a better idea of what it is that they would like to do, or even a better idea of what it is that other people are doing as far as media makers are concerned. So, you know, what is community-based media? Like many of the groups, you know, that are working with us, or I mean that are participating in the conference, we have this really wide definition, and media really covers, you know, a wide array of practices that are used to communicate ideas, inform and inspire people to action, which is definitely one of our goals, you know, for sure, is that it's practical. It's not just media, or let's say art for art's sake, you know. It's doing something. In our case, we're hoping it brings people to action, especially on all kinds of different issues, whether it's climate change or houselessness, other than just, you know, obvious forms of media, you know, like radio or video. We also include, you know, muralists, groups practicing, you know, things like what's called like theater of the oppressed, kind of alternative ways of doing theater performance, nonprofit, you know, record labels, you know, social practice artists that are engaged in projects that empower the communities that they actually work with. So again, not only just, you know, this idea of performance for performance sake, but using performance as aspect of really social transformation, you know, and people even maybe learning more about themselves by doing that kind of work and getting in touch more with the body and movement when it comes to, you know, theater performance, dance and music. So therefore, community-based media is one that really seeks to be an asset, you know, to the area in which it resides and reflect the knowledge and interests of people kind of in that community, rather than seeing them basically as a resource to be exploited for profit, because we feel like that's definitely kind of at least somewhat of the political angle of the way in which kind of some of the bigger media these days is not being practical, and that it's really framing people that way. That's why I was saying, you know, you don't get to hear about kind of people's experiences on the street every day, because the system itself sees them as disposable in a sense, even though we know that it's much more important. So again, kind of with that broad definition, you know, really incorporating all the different kinds of media that are really under the sun. And again, you know, we can look at tradition and innovation. That's how I like to look at it. And I say tradition and innovation because, like I said, today, 21st century, we have internet. That is a new area of media, which is expanding in so many ways. I mean, technology is one of them, but also expanding people's minds in positive ways, because people are able to access, you know, more information quickly across the globe. So that's huge. Now, before there was an internet, and again, I talk about tradition, you know, we can look at, it's like going to ancient history, right, and old trade routes, you know, from land or water-based trade routes in, you know, the Indian Ocean or Atlantic world, and people walking along the Silk Roads. You know, there's all kinds of different forms of media that people were using them too. People were using different mnemonic devices to keep records of things and write things also in their written languages. People were using different methods of oral history and music, and all those traditions still exist today. But again, you know, in some ways I'd say that they can be complemented and be augmented by the use of some of these 21st century innovations as well. Well, so again, looking at, you know, the human experience and how we're communicating ideas in general, I mean, language is a whole other issue that I would love to see the conference get into at some point, you know, kind of how do we use language and, you know, the language you're using in promoting different ideas. And so it connects to a lot of things. But
well, we do have a caller. Let's let Jack have his say. Oh, I guess Jack went away. But you can call in. We only have about 6 or 7 minutes left. The number is 503-231-8187 to call with your questions or comments. I know people haven't been as participatory this morning as they usually are, but I do hope that people have gotten a lot out of the what we've been talking about and will consider appearing themselves personally at the Cascade Media Convergence, which is this weekend. And once again, it's Saturday. Well, there's an event Friday evening, and then the conference itself is Saturday and Sunday all day. And then there's another cultural event Saturday evening. And it's, again, tell us where and also the website or a number or how people can,
absolutely,
if people can still register, if people can register, you know, just come and show up in person.
Yeah, so registration for the conference, we'll be doing registration initially. If you're not doing it online, which you can do, we'll do that at the opening event on Friday. Registration's open all Saturday and Sunday for the conference too. It's you know, basically like a sliding scale suggested donation, so we're not turning anybody away, you know, for, you know, not having some amount. We do encourage people to help volunteer, because we do need help with a lot of it. It's a community endeavor, and we're all volunteers doing this, and a lot of people are basically kind of unpaid activists for you know, all the amazing work that they're doing in the community. So, but initially people can go online, they can look at the website, and they can also register on there. There's a tab that simply says register, and then you just click right on there, and that'll take you to the link. The website for the conference is cascademedia.cc. That's cascademedia.cc. And that's the best way to check out, you know, everything that's going on for the conference. We just put out the program, actually, yesterday, so we're very excited that that all came together. And so you can also get the PDF from that if you want to print that out and look at it. We'll also obviously have programs at the conference, too. So definitely go to the website first. It's cascademedia.cc.
Okay, and we again, we do have a phone caller, so we can wrap this up after we talk to Kate. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Hi there. I'm going to have to ask my questions and then hang up because I'm driving. I had a dual question. Firstly, I work with a number of people who are reluctant to share their stories, either the undocumented or people who believe that their voices are not heard well, are not heard according to the way they needed to be heard. And I wanted to ask about the measures that are being taken to sort of protect people like that and empower them. And then my second question is, for those of us who don't know much at all about media, don't have a nice camera or a nice computer, but believe that stories are the way to go, how is this conference for us as well? How are we supposed to feel welcome there?
Okay, sure. Well, thank you for that.
Yeah, thanks, Kate. That's a, it's a great question. I'll start with the second part first, just because what I heard Kate asking was referring on some level to access to the technology itself, and I think she might have been alluding as well to the use of it as far as knowing how to use it. And I think the conference, the idea of the conference is definitely making people feel comfortable with the different kinds of media, with the technology. And I guess the way, in a sense, the way in which that we're doing that is the fact that it's not like, you know, requirement to have any of this technology, obviously, to come to the conference, and that a lot of the media makers that will be coming are bringing some of that technology along for people to be able to use in a participatory fashion. Like I mentioned, I like the example again of Right to Survive Radio, because I love what they do. And again, they'll be bringing field recorders, and so they'll show people how to use, you know, those kind of taking machines and stuff like that for people that might not be as savvy with that. Because I mean, we do really feel strongly about this kind of digital divide that's happening, which that does run in among class lines, but it also is a generational thing too. And I do spend a lot of time with friends trying to, you know, I mean, learn technology myself, but also, you know, show people how to just do basic things, sometimes even on Facebook. And so creating an atmosphere for that, for sure. The room that they're having the hackathon will be a room of people who, and definitely some of the people from KBOO Newsroom are going to be in there too. And so there'll be computers in there as well, and people can get tutorials on, you know, how to do various things. So that's one aspect of it, is creating that space and having different presentations that aren't only about, you know, doing really techie stuff. I mean, I think that's part of the point, and I've seen
We got to wrap up here, Adam.
Before. Oh yeah, sure.
So the first part of the question, I think we're not gonna be able to get to, talking about how to protect people who might feel a little exposed, appearing.
Well,
but
talk about that at the conference, you know.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Adam Carpinelli, talking about the Cascade Media Convergence coming up this weekend here in Portland. You got the website. You got all the information. You can also go to kboo.fm and look under community events. Thank you very much for listening. My name is Paul Rowland with Wednesday Talk Radio here on KBOO Portland. Thank you.
Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the final La Peña Flamenca de Portland of the season. On September 26th, at the steep and thorny way to heaven, La Peña Flamenca de Portland presents Berto Boyd with Danielle Azcarate and Elena Villa. There will be two performances, one beginning at 7 p.m. and the other at 9:30 p.m. La Peña Flamenca is a not-for-profit cultural association that promotes flamenco performances in Portland. Again, that's La Peña Flamenca de Portland, Friday, September 26th at the steep and thorny way to heaven on Southeast 2nd Avenue between Madison and Hawthorne in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events. Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor The Ghosts of Tonkin on Saturday, September 27th at 7:30 p.m. This award-winning play dramatizes the behind-the-scenes story of how public officials brought about one of the most devastating chapters in the history of the United States, the Vietnam War, and of Oregon Senator Wayne Morse, one of only two congressmen to vote against the Tonkin resolution. There will be a discussion following the play, moderated by KBOO's Joanne Hardesty, and includes playwright Steve Lyons and others. Again, that's The Ghosts of Tonkin, Saturday, September 27th at Lincoln Hall on the Portland State University campus, 1620 Southwest Park Avenue in Portland. More information on The Ghosts of Tonkin can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, you're tuned to KBOO Portland, and the time is 9:01. You get ready for